Hey, thanks very much for coming along today. I guess in coming to a seminar like this, people are coming from different perspectives. There'll be a group of people here who don't know what the words Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and WhatsApp mean. And if that's you, I'm sorry, but most of this seminar will go over your head. But if you do know what those words mean, or at least some of those words, I'm going to be thinking how Christianly to engage with Twitter, with Facebook, with Instagram. In terms of theologically, I'm going to try and set out what I think is a positive, godly way of using these media. First thing I just want to say is there's a priority in the scriptures of face-to-face communication in that actually the scriptures, though they're written, the writers of the scriptures say, we want to talk. And so in Romans 1:11, for I want very much to see you so that I might impart some spiritual gift. There's a benefit in me seeing you. Or 2 Timothy 1:4, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Or 1 Thessalonians 3:6, but now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love and reported that you always have good memories of us, wanting to see us as we also want to see you. Now, I just say at that point, never is the written communication held up as if it's better to send somebody a Facebook message than to actually see them. I don't know if this was your situation, but I remember when I was dating my wife or when we were engaged, or even girlfriends before that, that whenever we had a disagreement, we couldn't sort it out on the phone. And we couldn't sort it out by writing. We had to sort it out face by face. And now when I've got disagreements in our church or disagreements in my staff team, we've got to sort it out in a face-to-face. In any conflict, it'll be worse written. Now that's true, it'll be worse on the phone, face-to-face the way. Now that's the case in just our normal way of relating, much more, or at least parallel, in what happens electronically on the web, online. In terms of speaking, there's a few things that scriptures say, and this next bit is obviously going broader than online communication. Here's one from Colossians 4:6. So that I might reveal it as I'm required to speak, act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of your time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. So, just in terms of act wisely towards outsiders, I was having a conversation yesterday with a Christian friend, and we were talking about, I thought, quite a sensitive issue.
Anyway, we got to three quarters of the way through the conversation, this is on the phone, and he said, anyway, just hang on a minute, I've got to say goodbye to the Uber driver. And I thought, what? You mean the Uber driver was listening to our conversation? And it was just never a conversation that if we were face-to-face, I wouldn't have had that conversation in front of a non-Christian. And I just thought, that was just dumb. You know, now, I've seen other Christians do it. I've been on the bus and I've been listening to somebody else three seats back on my bus and they're a Christian and they're talking about some ministry thing on the phone. And the half back of the bus is listening to their conversation. And I've got a verse that says, don't do that. Act wisely towards outsiders. So in terms of think about what the outsider is hearing. And if that is true in the conversation, it's got to be true in what people post on Facebook. It's got to be true in what people... I mean, some of my Christian friends, some of my Christian peers in Christian ministry, I think... some of their Facebook posts are really unhelpful to the cause of Jesus in this city in that they might put a post out there on kind of public Facebook about some internal division in the church and then they might have a whole range of other ministers or other Christian leaders weigh in on this point of internal division in the church and all in front of their non-Christian friends. And I'm thinking... either they don't have any non-Christian friends on Facebook, which would be tragic, or they're not acting wisely in front of their non-Christian friends on Facebook. But I'm hoping that, I mean, if I think about myself, I'm hoping that I have a lot of friends on social media, and I'd actually not just have a lot of Christian friends on social media, but a lot of non-Christian friends on social media, and I've got to be thinking, how am I acting towards the outsiders in front of those non-Christian friends? The other one is, always be gracious, seasoned with salt. So I'm wanting to throw in some spice. I'm wanting to throw in some thoughts that will provoke people, will get them thinking. Next little one here, Ephesians 4:25, since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbour, because we're members of one another. Don't be angry, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. I mean, there's so much there in terms of what we say to people or what we write on social media, but foul language, there's one. Lying, there's one. And then this last sentence, speak or write only what is good for building up. If I'm thinking as I write, how am I helping you to grow in Christ? Now, I've come to the view, and this is a slight overstatement, I've come to the view that no comment I make ever in social interaction or online is neutral. Every comment will either be helping or hindering the gospel of Jesus. I remember years ago, I was helping run the Christian group at university, and I was about week two or three of the semester, and I said, it was a group of mainly first years, but there was one or two second and third years there, and there was me who was on the staff of the university Christian group. And I said, now, guys, we've got this great week coming up in the middle of the year. It's called Mid-Year Conference. It's a fantastic week, and lots of the students from all across the campus, there'll be hundreds, it's going to be terrific. And this second year said, oh, no, he's going to be on about Mid-Year Conference every week until the end of the semester. And so what did that guy's... I mean, he was a kind of little joke putting me down, but actually it had the effect of, I'm with you guys against the leader, and every time the leader sells the Christian... Now, the second year was the maturer Christian. He could have said, it's going to be great. I'm so glad I went. Do you see how he could have had the negative comment, but he could have had the positive comment. Now, I think that's true in every one of our social interactions, but it's certainly true in how we act online. Next little one, Ephesians 5:3, that sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not be heard of among you as is proper for the saints. Coarse and foolish talk or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. Or 1 Peter 3:15, honour the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defence to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear, so when you're accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. Or this one from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We exhort you, brothers. I'll just do 15. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. See, I pause on verse 15 because somebody parked over my driveway, and they'd left their car there for 18 hours. And I was grumpy after 6 hours, I was furious after 12, and I was livid after 18. And I thought, I've got 5,000 Facebook friends. I'll post a photo of their car. But then I thought about, see to it that no one repays evil for evil. You know, my whole motive in doing that would have been to kind of get back of them, you irresponsible rat. Do you know? That would have been my motive, and I think I didn't do that. I'm just trying to remember. I think I did. I know I decided it would have been the wrong thing to do. Here are 10 pieces of wisdom, and the good ideas in these 10 pieces of wisdom I actually drew from Nigel Fortescue. The first one is that social media is an opportunity for you to stand authentically, missionally for Jesus in front of an audience. And I don't know whether you've thought about that as a possibility, but I think it's really helpful. And you might just analyse yourself at this point. Are you a social media lurker? My mother is. She's on social media under a false name, and she has never posted in the 5 years that she's been on social media, and she's really only on social media to stalk her son. So she's a lurker. Another kind of person is, I'll call them a local. They're just really interested in their little group. They might post, but they're only interested in a few people. And then an advocate or an influencer that you're actually attempting to influence a wider group. Now, I was helped in this by a small businesswoman who goes to our church. And she said, Dominic, what you're doing in the Christian ministry is quite similar to what I'm doing. She works in graphic design. And she says, you do your work, but you've got to be out there rattling your shingle. You've got to be out there. I've got to be out there as a graphic designer rattling my shingle. In the village might be there, and all the shops are there, and there's a little blacksmith shingle out the front of the blacksmith, and come and get your shoes, your horse's shoed. The blacksmith rattles the shingle of the blacksmith shop, and she's saying, in her design world, she's got to be saying, we exist, come and get your graphic design done by me. And she said, similarly, you as the minister, you've got to be saying, we exist as the church, we're here in the community, there's stuff happening here. Now, we could do it by posters outside the building, but actually most people check out our church by our Facebook page of the church, by our website of the church, or often people are going to come because they see their friends speaking positively about our church on social media. Now, she says, you've got to be out rattling your shingle. And so I thought, why am I on social media? I'm not primarily on social media to tell people about my holidays overseas. I'm primarily on social media because I'm wanting to point people to Jesus. So my goal is not just I'm having a fun time. My goal is how can I point people in the direction of Christ? And so, I mean, this is just fresh in my mind, but I'll show you how I did it last night. Last night I went along to I'll just read you. This is my post on Facebook from last night. I started work as a junior journalist at TUE in 1985, 2.5 years after Glenn Daniels started at Rival TWS. We've known each other since then, first as fellow journalists, then after I became a Christian in 1986 as Christians in the Media. Glenn has been a key player in news at 2WS, 2SM, Today FM, Triple M, WS, News Radio and Smooth FM. It was wonderful to be present tonight with a who's who of 35 years of Australian radio news, plus family and friends from his Bible study group, stretching back to high school to see Glenn launch his biography, News Time, A Life in Radio. I met Michelle Alexandrovics for the first time this evening. Michelle was breakfast news editor at 3AK Melbourne in 1997-98, sister station to 2UE, where I was breakfast news editor at the time. Back then, we were both having our first go editing news in prime time, but we'd never actually met till this evening. In this photo, Glenn Daniel being interviewed by Lee Hatcher about 35 years in radio. You can buy Glenn's book online. Now, went to this thing. I'm thinking, how can I rattle the shingle of Jesus in front of my non-Christian radio friends? And so I've talked about the fact that I'm Christian, that my primary audience here is not you. My primary audience is I've got my non-Christian radio friends in mind. And so I'm wanting to say, Glenn, who's highly respected in the industry, who 200 media people turned up last night to hear him speak, he's Christian. He's got a testimony of Jesus. He's got Bible study friends from 30 to 40 years ago. And it's real. And then I gave them this little one in the comments. In this photo is Mark Collier, former general manager, TUE. Russell Powell, former TUE, GB News Radio, Murray Olds almost every shift on TUE and 2GB, Alan Baskin, ex-TUE, 2GB, now Gold in Melbourne, and me, conversation snippet. Murray, what are you doing now, Russell? I work for the Anglican Church. Murray, what are you doing now, Dominic? I work for the Anglican Church. Murray, what are you doing now, Alan? I read stories on air about Meghan Markle joining the Anglican Church. But you can see, I could have just said, great night at Glenn Daniels' 35th year of radio party. But I looked to see how can I leverage that to rattle the shingle of Jesus. You see what I'm trying to influence people for Jesus. Now, that really makes you thinking that I'm a city on a hill. Or in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp, puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand and gives it light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, there are dangers in taking this approach. I think actually one of the dangers, if you're actually trying to put yourself out there to be an influencer for Jesus, or I mean, one of my things was took over this little dead church in Annandale. I wanted people to know we existed. And this is, sorry, our church isn't dead anymore. Our church is going fantastically. But there was a time when it was very tiny and not much was happening. And I wanted people to think if they ever moved to the inner west, they should, our church was a viable church to go to. So I'm always wanting to say there are alive, fun things, interesting things happening at our church. Because I just want my friends on social media to know the shingles being rattled. And so if you're in a little church, you should be rattling the shingle as well to say, we're here, we exist, it's a good place to check out. But you know what? The danger of rattling the shingle is it immediately poses motive problems. Am I doing this because I want people to see Jesus? Or am I doing it because I want people to see me? Am I about pride in this? Now, I think you've got to keep searching your heart on that. For me, one of the guides, I mean, one of the lines I came across was, how narcissistic are your posts? God knows what's in your heart, but out of the evilness of the heart flow 600 check-ins and selfies. I mean, how would you try to get this right? Well, one of the things I've thought about is not to be petty in discussion, and actually to try and particularly where I can, look for opportunities to point out where God is shining light through others. See, if you think about that Glenn Daniel post, I don't think I really said anything that was big noting Dominic. You know, it was all about what a great guy Glenn was and how God had worked in Glenn's life. And so I know I haven't got a pride problem at that. But here's another little one. In case you know somebody appropriate, our friends at Newtown Erskineville are looking at starting a ministry to those with intellectual disabilities. Now, why am I doing that post? Well, I'm wanting to say there's a good light thing going on with Jesus over at Newtown Erskineville, but I'm also wanting to say to my non-Christian friends that Christians actually care about people with intellectual disabilities. Or this one, this is me last Sunday. Earlier this evening, a group of us met up to commission and pray for Katie Stringer as the new Generate Ministries scripture teacher. It's the first time that Sydney Secondary College Balmain has had scripture in 20 years, and only the second year for scripture teaching at Sydney Secondary College Leichhardt after a 20-year gap. Join an initiative of these churches if you want to help fund Katie and her work. Now, I'm not pointing to Village Church Annandale, I'm pointing to All Souls Leichhardt, you know, and so I can see that my motive is pure when I'm not pushing my barrow, I'm pushing God working through some other ministry, some other church. One of the things, though, as you think about social media, is you've got to ask yourself, this is a key question, is social media a platform to stand on or is it a backfence conversation? And the answer is yes. It is. It's a backfence conversation. But actually, you're having a backfence conversation in front of a whole lot of other people. So you actually do much better if you write the post as if you were talking to the person over the back fence, rather than if you write the post as if you're standing up in front of an auditorium giving an address. You know, you're much better to come in through the... So that little line about that little conversation about what are you doing, I work for the Anglican Church, that's actually a really good way to phrase it on social media, because it's just giving you the fun little snippet that in the end is saying something positive about Jesus.
Yeah.
People get confused about this platform or backfence thing. I'm in the Facebook group Annandale 2038, and someone last week posted a video from outside their house that they'd taken of a woman with two very distinctive dogs walking along outside his house and then hanging a plastic bag with dog poo on the tree outside his house and then keeping on walking. And then he wrote in the post that this same woman, this had happened 4 or 5 times before. Somebody had come along, hung the plastic bag with dog poo on the tree, and so it had, and so annoyed him that he'd got a video camera and set it up outside in the top bedroom, filming the tree, and then he had filmed this woman come past, and then there was a whole long discussion on the thread as people identified who the woman was, and that she was the owner of the dance studio on such and such a street. And then people started to say all sorts of other dog poo offences that she's done in our suburb. And at the end, I think she'd been defamed. You know, I think she had. Because it was very clear who she was. She was named. And people would think worse of her as an individual. Now, there's a whole lot of offences for defamation, like truth and that kind of thing. But you still have to go to court, and there'd be then the question of, was it in the public interest, and who wants to go to court for that kind of thing? And you've just got to be so careful. And I keep seeing people say things on social media thinking they're having a backfence conversation with two friends when they're actually irresponsibly broadcasting it to thousands. And so I hope I didn't... I mean, sorry, there wouldn't have been a problem... I mean, there wouldn't have been a defamation problem posting a photo of a car. There would have been a problem in my heart problem, but there wouldn't have been a defamation problem. But I just think you've got to be super careful in that area. I just also say, in terms of the platform and respecting the genre, if you only use social media to say, we've got a men's night at church, great sermon by such and such, and you don't actually give of yourself personally, then actually it won't work, because the genre functions in the media of personal sharing, of personal telling stories about yourself. That's how that's what social media is. That's what people are expecting in the thing. So you've got to work out ways of giving of yourself in that. Next one is God's directives on speech apply. What would Jesus say? I think you've got to think here about what topics you would raise if you're raising for discussion. Sometimes I've seen some of my Christian, and particularly Christian leader friends, it's not that their post itself was so bad, but that they raised the topic where a whole lot of people weighed in, and you could kind of predict that a whole lot of people would have weighed in that disagreeable fight, and all of that was going to happen in front of their non-Christian friends. You know, and so I just think, I wish some of my friends would think ahead about what they're doing when they raise a particular problem or a particular issue on social media in front of the non-Christian. There's also, I think, the problem of emotions in interpersonal interaction, that it's so easy to run to the emotional. So we've got in Philippians 2:4, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. I've just got to be so careful. My strategy is to, you know that scene in Crocodile Dundee where Crocodile Dundee walks into New York and he says, "Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you?" And he's just going and saying polite social interaction to all these people who are kind of racing past, brushing up against him, not interested in him, and so rude to him. But he says, this is the right way to behave, and he holds his line on that. And I just think we've got to be Christian Crocodile Dundees. Second to remember is there really is no delete key. You can't take it back. Once you've said it, it's gone. And what you've said could be retrieved, Googled, kept and used against you in the gospel at any time. I mean, the big example of this was Jim Wallace, who was the head of the Australian Christian Lobby, and he made a post on Anzac Day relating to homosexuals a few years ago, and it was quickly withdrawn, but the media just jumped on him. And it was just a careless moment post by him, and but it was so unhelpful overall. Myself, in terms of thinking about what I allow to go online, do you remember there was an independent elected to federal parliament at the last parliament, and then they found YouTube videos of him involved in a kangaroo poo fight? Do you remember that? And all these, and I mean, it was probably 10 years earlier, and him playing silly buggers with friends, and kind of who cares? But 10 years later, it came back to haunt him. And so we had a moment at church where we ran a campaign to get people on our weekend away, and we said if we get this many registrations by a certain date, Dominic will go down the water slide in a onesie. And the things you do for the gospel. and so we got more than that many registrations, and so people were excited. I was going to do this stupid thing and go down the water slide in the onesie, and everybody got out there, their cameras. And I just knew it's one thing for it to be a fun little thing on our little group weekend away. It's a totally different thing for it to happen on social media in front of a big wide group. And so I just said to them, I just want you to love me on this and not take any photos. And they did. They did love me. They didn't take any photos. But it's really me thinking, I don't know what the future is for me. But I just don't want to be that kangaroo poo guy in 5-10 years' time. And so I'm just going to pull the brakes on being silly online and be the grown-up online. Does that make sense in terms of going forward? And I think particularly when you're 20, you can't actually see the consequences of putting something online in 10, 15 years' time. And so I just want to urge to... I guess I'd also say, it's kind of related to this, I don't know if you had the experience when you were 21. I had the experience when I was 21. I'd only just become Christian. And so there were people coming to my 21st from school, there were people coming to my 21st from uni, there were people beginning to be friends from radio coming. So I had 5 or 6 different groups of friends all coming to my... And I realised I've been a different person in all of these groups. And what happens if they talk to each other? They might actually discover who I really am. And I found that terrifying. By the time I got to my 40th birthday party, we had a Dominic roasted and toasted night, and I realised by then that I was prepared to have all these different groups from all these different parts of my life all come together and all make deliberate fun of me. And I thought, I must have become a more integrated person over the last 19 years, which you'd hope would happen, but it had happened. And so I think one of the things about social media is you've got to choose what you do put out online is you as an integrated person. Even though I said I was doing it for my radio friends, I was still doing it in front of my church friends before. Do you see what I'm saying there? For me, what I do as a public Christian is put almost all of my posts out publicly. But you can see I'm trying to be an influencer, not just a lurker and not just a local. But I actually want more of you locals to be I want the lurkers to become locals and the locals to become influencers. Influencers for Jesus. Now, next one. Use the electronic to enhance the personal. I've got a couple of thoughts here. I think in church, 20 years ago, you went to church and you had hardly any interaction with the church leadership between Sunday and Sunday. I reckon, in one way or another, most of the members of our church would interact with our church leadership most days somehow because of social media. Well, that's a fantastic breakthrough in terms of us being a community together for effectively very little cost. Secondly here, differently but same point, people reveal a lot about themselves in electronic communication because of the distance between them and the people they're communicating in. And sometimes people can reveal more in the interpersonal arena, forgetting that you've actually got to relate to those same people back in the real world the following week. And so I just think you want to think, how can I use the electronic to enhance the personal? But I'd also say, don't use the electronic to escape the personal. Relates to the point I made before about hard conversations. Next one is personal boundaries. You've got to respect the boundaries of other people. I don't think I've ever posted on Facebook about my mother, because I know that her boundary, she's totally paranoid about social media. She doesn't want anything said about her. That's why she's got a fake name and never posts. So I'm respecting her personal boundaries. One of my other Christian leader friends, who's a significant influencer on Facebook, he never posts about his wife and never posts about his children, because although he has got quite a public voice, his wife has been very clear that she doesn't want to be a publicly out there on social media. And so just in terms of him respecting the boundaries of her, I think that's really good. I think you've got to always think when you write something about where it might go. 10 years ago, I was sued for defamation. In the end, I was found to have done the right thing, but it was a 4-year, very painful journey. And in the middle of it, the Supreme Court ordered that we had to hand over everything on our computers relating to, so I had to, anything I had ever written about this guy who was suing me, I had to give to the court. And presumably he had to give everything he'd ever written relating to me to the court. So we did that, and I didn't have a concern about doing that because my personal policy had been never to write anything down that wouldn't pass the Sydney Morning Herald front page test. And so if you don't think this would be any good on the front page of the Herald, then don't write it down. Don't post it in a small, discreet Facebook group. Don't post it anywhere if you don't think it can stand the Sydney Morning Herald front page test. Next one is love those who hate electronic communication. I just talked about the communication channels at church and how much better our communications with our membership has been since we've got the Facebook group of church, we've got the Facebook page of church, the under 20s are all watching Instagram. But I was saying to our parish council that there are far more ways of communicating in our church fellowship than just the announcements up the front in church. And I started to list off these various social media ways that are so significant in community. And then suddenly I realised nobody on our parish council is on social media. And so my argument to them that there was all these ways that we were communicating and lots of people were acting, that made no sense. And I thought, I've got to spend more attention in my planning catering for those who are not on social media at all. And my last one, before I open up for questions, is don't be someone you aren't. Don't copy the teenagers. Be yourself online and express who you are and what you think. But just don't try to pretend to be somebody you're not. So, do you want to ask a question or make a comment about anything I have said in the 8 minutes remaining? Sir?
With regards to defending sensitive inflammatory issues on Facebook, would you steer away from that? Because I found I did it once, like defending a sensitive or inflammatory issue, and there's people whose opinions are already set. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like you're just butting heads.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on?
I've got a few. That's a really helpful question. My first thought is, if you're here and the person you're arguing against is there, you're not actually playing to persuade them. You're actually playing for the middle ground who are confused. You shouldn't actually expect to persuade that person, but you might actually help the middle ground. That's the first thought. Secondly, my thought is, if I'm very interested, if somebody said something inflammatory on Facebook, on what are the privacy settings of the post? If it's a public post, and I am posting, and myself, I've got, I don't know, 5,000 Instagram followers, Facebook followers, then they might only have a few friends, but me posting on it might take all of my non-Christian friends over to have a look at this stupid little fight. Do you know, I watched Brian Houston do this and muck it up the other day, or not the other day, about a year ago. And Houston's got, I don't know, a million Facebook followers. And somebody had a shot at him over a fairly trivial issue, but this bloke who had a shot at him might have had, I don't know, 200 Twitter followers. And Houston replied, and when he replied, a million people saw the reply. And so it would have been so much more sensible for Brian to be self-controlled and just to have taken that hit on the chin rather than giving oxygen to the person who, from Brian's perspective, was effectively a troll. Does that make sense? So, however, if the privacy settings are so small that you think, there's only 10 people able to see this conversation, then you might wander in and have a go at persuading them. So I see stupid things being said on Facebook by people, and I refrain from getting involved because I just don't want to take my followers over there.
Yeah.
Up the back.
Just on that same question, if someone who's trolling deliberately puts a provocative response to what you've said, but added to that is that the response has a high level of ambiguity. And I've always sort of taken the view to refrain from responding because of the ambiguity and how it might be interpreted.
Hmm.
In your own experience, how often would you believe that this level of ambiguity could get out of hand?
Yeah, see, if I just give you an example, that post I posted about scripture at Leichhardt School, a well-meaning elderly Christian from the North Coast responded to that post and said something about scripture. If we don't use it, we'll lose it. Get in there, win many souls to Christ. You know, now, I think he was well-meaning, but actually in the current debate over what is the right of access that we as Christian leaders have to schools to teach scripture, I can't say on Facebook we've got missional goals. Because what we're about is What we're about under the Department of Education ethos is we're about educating the children of Christians who've asked for their children to be educated in the Christian. And now, I just thought, wow, this guy's well-meaning comment could ignite a hornet's nest. I just don't want to go there. And this post of mine about scripture in Leichhardt has already been shared 14 times and got 150 likes, and it's out there in terms of people reading it. I just deleted the comment, you know, and I just thought, if I had more time, I might have rung him up and explained why, but I was just in a rush, and I thought, just before I have a difficult bun fight, because I just knew the principal of Leichhardt High would be looking at that post, and so I just didn't want to go there. So I think sometimes you've got to do that kind of thing. Andrew?
Doesn't what was said back earlier, once it's there, it can't be deleted?
Yeah, that's true. Who knows how many people had seen it by then. If nobody had seen it, well, I'll take my chances and delete it anyway. Yeah. I mean, it can be deleted, but sometimes it's already gone. Somebody's already taken a screenshot. So,
I'm not sure if it's a question or comment. We'll see how it ends.
Yeah.
Sometimes I fear that we can fall into the trap of thinking that technology is it's neutral, and we just need to be careful about how we use it. Mm-hmm. You've given us a really helpful kind of unfolding of being careful of how we use social media. But I'm thinking of some of the things that have come up in some of the questions as well. They, to me, come from a place of realising that it isn't actually neutral. So social media is designed, its whole architecture is around promotion of a narcissistic way of interacting with the world. And so, I mean, you give some writers about narcissism, mm-hmm. but I think that's there. And so when we think about social media has given our pastors another way of interacting, mm-hmm. You know, midweek with our parishioners and so forth, there's a sense in which that's a thinning out of relating, and widening perhaps, but a thinning of depth. And when it comes to truth as well, we see that truth is being shaped by truth by consensus rather. So technology has these shaping influences on us, even when we use it well. And so I'm just wondering, there you go, that's probably a comment there.
Yep, so. Could you guys at the back hear that comment, or do I need to repeat that? Just sort of right at the back in the middle, could you hear that? Or great, okay, yep. Next question, yeah.
Dominic, just as in layman's terms, I suppose there's something to open. How do we avoid, or what should we be watching out for to ensure that what we post online can be seen as defamatory?
Oh, for defamatory? Well, the three defences... I am the expert. it traumatised me for 4 years. The three defences for defamation, the three things are truth, the public interest, and the third one they call qualified privilege. Qualified privilege means the group that you were speaking to has a reasonable reason to be told this information. So I might be having a discussion with... a couple of other people, and we're on a job interview panel, and we're talking about the people that we've just interviewed, and in the discussion quite critical things are said of the various candidates that we've interviewed. Now, did we defame them? No, there was a qualified privilege reason for having that analytical conversation. So here's the thing, you can say much more critical things of politicians in front of the electorate who will vote for them than you could say of ordinary members of the public, because the general public has a reason to know about the lives of the politicians because it will influence whether they want to vote for them next time. So qualified privilege is a reason. The next reason is truth. What was the third one I said? I can't remember.
Public interest.
Public interest, yeah. I would say though, as a general rule, don't make statements about someone's character. Make statements about if you say, Andrew is a liar. I've made a statement about his character. Whereas if you say, that was a lie, I'm not making a statement about his character, I'm making a statement about a statement that was made. Do you know? And so that one is of a very different nature to the other. Yeah. So.
My question is, being a self-invested worker, how do I move forward into being maybe a worker or an influencer? What would be? I feel very uncomfortable maybe posting online. People don't need to know about my life necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
What would be a good first post?
Well, I think posting about your life online, I think it's a little bit like, what did you do on the weekend? You know, what did you do on the weekend? If you leave church out, then you're actually representing a different view of you to the guys at work than is the real you. So I've found social media has pushed me to be more authentic in my general interactions with all my different circles. So I think that, I mean, to balance the comment that you said before, that's had one of the effects on me. I'd start with something simple. Great talk from Kanishka Rafael on da-da-da, you know, at Men Meeting the Challenge today, you know, and take a photo of Kanishka in the next session. Do you know, that's not giving away too much of you, you know, but it actually says, I'm a Christian guy who went to a conference called Men Meeting the Challenge, you know, or either I'm a Christian guy or I'm a guy who was prepared to go to a Christian conference, you know, and that's actually letting those people know a little bit about you that they might not otherwise have known, you know, and yet it's not talking about how things are going in my marriage or something like that, you know? Yeah.
Guys, we might need to wrap it up there so you can get out to the next session.